Well, good morning. Many people say that Quentin looks like my brother, so if he was confused thinking Quentin was coming up to speak, then my older brother, I have to say. Sorry. This morning we're continuing in our series that we started a few weeks ago in the book of Galatians. We'll be reading in a few moments quite a long passage, and it's quite a heavy passage as well. So if you need a Bible, now's your time to put your hand up and get one, as we'll follow that through in a little bit. And if we remember, the book of Galatians, the letter that Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia, is very strongly worded. And as we're going to see, Paul is unrelenting in his words today towards the Galatians. But I hope as we go through this today, it's not going to be let's say, fear and doom and sort of negative speak. But we're going to be looking at a positive that comes out of the message from this word today. The title that we've got is The Promise of the Gospel. And that's what I hope we're going to look at, some promises that God makes in the passage. You know, we all make promises, don't we? And sometimes we can keep our promises, and sometimes we struggle to meet those commitments. Now, I must admit, I've seen The War Horse, and I'm not going to do a spoiler because I can't remember what happened, because I can never remember what happened. But, you know, there was the captain, I think, making a promise to Albert that he would try and bring Joey back again at the end of the war. You know, sometimes we make promises that we're not able to commit. And before we look at the passage today, I wanted to encourage you. And, you know, we've been thinking about and hearing about all these festivals. And it really is amazing. You know, when you add it up, there's probably, last week, 100,000 people around the country in festivals, worshipping God, all understanding the promise of God, the promises of God for them. And the Bible is full of promises for us. And as I was preparing for this, I got a little book from Max Lucado called The Promises of God for You. Now, I'm going to put something on the screen here. Don't sigh, because you won't be able to read it. You're not meant to. Okay? That is a long list of promises of God in the Bible. And behind each one of those chapters in the book, which is a very short chapter, there's three or four Bible verses and then a little sort of snippet of insight into it. And there are so many promises that God has for us. And I actually think that we should be encouraging ourselves more, encouraging others with the promises of God. Okay, but we're going to look at three promises today. Let's just go back up that one. And, you know, as we look at those and we think of these things, let's just remember that God doesn't struggle to keep his promises like we do. Okay, we sometimes see promises on 31st of July 2016 eyes and say, why, God, isn't this happening today? But we need to remember that God's promises, and God sort of lives out of that time frame, if you like, and he sees promises and all he wants to give us in his time frame. So anyway, that's sort of a little bit of an encouragement before we get into it. Let's read Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 25. And see if we can follow this through. You foolish Galatians. As I said, Paul was unrelenting in his words. Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law, or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. Okay, very good link here, Quentin, to what you've just shared. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand, then, that those who believe are children of Abraham. the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. We carry on, verse 15. Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant or a human agreement that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to his seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean by this is the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of the transgressions until the seed, who is Jesus, to whom the promise had referred to come, had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law is given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have become by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. So what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. There we go. That is a long passage, and I'm hoping that we can unpack that a little bit, just with three promises this morning. And our first promise that we have, that I've picked out, is the promise of the Spirit. The Galatians knew that they had received the Holy Spirit. And you know, we understand, don't we, the physical realm. You know, we can see, we can touch, we can smell, we can hear. I know that there are people in this room. We can understand the physical realm, but there is also a spiritual realm that we need to understand. And you know, many people will say that they don't believe in God. And yet, they are superstitious. They believe in ghosts. They get involved in dark, satanic things like seances or Ouija boards or tarot cards. These are evil, evil things that people get involved in. And yet, they can't see that there is a loving Creator God who lives in the spiritual realm. And you know, those things that I've mentioned are evil and they must be run away from. I was talking to someone not so long ago that just in the music that they were listening to and the things that they talked about at night time with other people were of evil things, and we must, in Jesus' name, run away from those things. But these are spiritual things, and God also wants to give his Spirit. But it is a good Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that Jesus promised that people who follow him would have. And you know, Paul tells the church in Galatia that you have the Spirit, and yet you no longer accept his work. I just want us to look very briefly at John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17, where Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and will be in you. And that is what Paul is saying to the Galatians. You have the Holy Spirit, you know the Holy Spirit, and yet you are doing things by yourself, and you are trying to attain righteousness by yourself. The Holy Spirit is God. All followers of Jesus receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that. That's what we have just read. And as we submit and offer ourselves to God, the Holy Spirit will change our lives. And that is evidenced by a change in attitudes and the change that is seen, that is measurable. In a couple of chapters' time, Paul talks to the Galatians about what that evidence will look like. It will look like the fruit that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is promised to all who believe and follow Jesus Christ. As you see, the Galatians had lost sight of that. And from verse 6 onwards in this chapter, there's a really heavy and sort of challenging passage. But actually, I sort of summarize it in some respects by the promise of freedom. What did God create humanity for? Did God create humanity to be at war, to murder, to turn away from him? No, absolutely not. God created humanity to be united with God and to be united together. And you know, I always find it interesting when you look at the Old Testament and the start of the Old Testament, when the nations were formed, and that time when Noah had three sons, and those three sons went off and formed nations, and it all sort of started to fall to pieces, and the nation started to turn against God. And the passage that we're reading is the time when God says to Abraham, and we're reminded that God says to Abraham, look, that isn't what my heart is. I want all nations to come. We're going to look at that a bit more in a minute. I want everybody to come and be restored to me. And the way that I'm going to do that is to create a nation out of you, Abraham, that is going to lead to my son Jesus. And we see it, don't we? In Matthew 1, the very first verses of the very first gospel, we see the genealogy of Jesus. And it starts with Abraham, and it goes to Isaac, and it goes to Jacob, and it goes on through to David. And then Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So this was the start of the promise to restore everybody back to God. And then it says, but wait a sec, 430 years, well actually a lot more than 430 years, 430 years after Jacob went into exile with his family when there was a famine and went to Egypt, God gave commandments. And it's quite confusing, but he says, does that now mean that the promise is no longer the promise and we now just have to focus on the commandments because that is the important thing? We must obey the commandments. He says, no, the promise is still the promise. We read that in these verses in Galatians. And actually, when you think about it, God didn't reveal anything new about himself in the Ten Commandments. Let's think about them. He said, know that I am God. Don't make anything in your life more important than me. Honor my name as God. Work hard, but remember the model I set. Work for 6 days and on the seventh, rest. I created the model of family, God says. Respect that model. Live in peace with others. Words like murder, adultery, theft, lying, envy and greed are not compatible with what I am about. There is actually nothing new in God's heart that came about from the Ten Commandments. There's actually God at a point in time when he's talking to the Israelites saying, this is my heart. Now, he knew that people would not be able to become righteous, to become filled with faith by following that. That's why he gave all the sacrifices and said, look, when you do this wrong, you've got to do this. You've got to sacrifice the lamb, the dove, and all these types of things. You cannot find faith in what you do. It is not how hard we try to do it, Galatians, source of church. It is about finding faith in God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, when you understand that, it completely changes how you think about things. At least it does for me. You know, if I know I am free from obeying the law, then by the power of the work of the Holy Spirit, I will not have to keep thinking about it. You know, I can honestly say, okay, I don't go down the street and think, I really mustn't steal from that person, okay? Most people don't, do they? I don't have to think about doing that, okay? And when we have the law, we completely change the paradigm, and paradoxically, we all start to obey the law more than if we're continually thinking about it. And that's what he's saying to the Galatians here. Stop thinking about the law the whole time. Stop thinking that you've got to keep obeying the law, but focus on Christ. It is a complete shift in thinking. And with that attitude change, we will just change our whole paradigm. So I'd like us to, again, to, it's interesting, a chapter before last week, we were looking at how Paul was mystified by Peter. But I've gone to a passage in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3-7, to really explain the difference in attitude that we're going to have when we understand this promise of freedom. His divine power, you can read into that, his Holy Spirit has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, we may participate in it, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith the faith that you have in the promised Holy Spirit. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Do you see, it's completely different. It's not looking backwards, trying to ensure that you're not getting into trouble by not doing this, I mustn't do this, I mustn't do that. It's looking forwards and trying to put on these things of God in our lives that ultimately end up with love, the greatest commandment, isn't it? To love God with all our hearts, all mind and strength, and to love our neighbour as ourself. And it completely changes the way that the Galatians are told and the way that we should be looking at things. So the promise of the Spirit gives freedom. And that promise is for all. Verses 8 and 9 of our passage. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, so that those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You know, God's heart has always been for all nations. God's heart has always been for all nations. Okay? He wants to restore all nations back to himself. And he has done that, as is explained, through Abraham. And through Abraham, he started that plan, and the plan was completed through Abraham's seed by Jesus. And you know, we often label people, don't we? We label them as Jew, or as Muslim, or as Christian, or as Sikh, or as Hindu. And I actually find those labels, because we often assign those to people who live in different countries or whatever, and I actually find them quite difficult. I would like to be labeled as a follower of Jesus. In fact, I was thinking, you know, when my time comes, I'd love to be on my little, it won't be a gravestone, but it'll be a little plaque somewhere, no doubt, James Rose, a follower of Jesus. And I will join with people from all nations as a follower of Jesus. And how fantastic is that? You know, in this country, there are hundreds of thousands of people this week celebrating around the world. There are all nations who are following Jesus. So really, through Jesus, all people can be restored to a full relationship with God. And I think it's summarized, although it's not in the passage I've been given, and I'm sort of moving into next week. Verses 26 to the end of this chapter. For you, all sons of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. Shall I read that again? For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the promise of the gospel is this, that all people can be free by the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And that is what Paul is encouraging the Galatians to understand, and that is what we need to understand today. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that in these challenges, in these strong words to the Galatians, we can see your beautiful heart. Your beautiful heart of restoration. Your beautiful heart of hope. Lord, your wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit to us. Your wonderful gift of freedom. And your wonderful gift for all. Lord, we thank you that you've accepted us to be restored, Lord. We thank you that you have a plan, that you had a plan, and Lord, that you continue to give us promises today. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.